folks. This is Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast. This is going to be episode 9, and glad you're with me today. Want to talk to you today a little bit about step number 1 on the financial wealth building program that I explained a few episodes ago, the 10-step program to building a legacy of wealth. And step number 1 is what we're going to address today, go a little bit more into detail about it. And hopefully you'll be able to find at least one or two points in here that you can start to implement today to help build some wealth and some spending habits that will give you a little bit more margin in your cash flow. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about business. First of all, right now, if you subscribe online to our website and become a member on our list, then you can get a free document from me that will have Bible verses related to money, and I've categorized them. There's several of them, a couple pages worth, and it'd be a great resource to be able to quickly access different Bible verses related to money. So if you subscribe this week onto the podcast, whether you subscribe on the podcast or if you become a part of the mailing list, then you will access that or be able to have access to that. And I encourage you to do that. Also, let your friends and family and others know about the podcast through Facebook or just by email. And then also subscribe to our RSS feed or through iTunes. You can also reach us there. That just about takes care of the business. And also, looking for feedback. If you want to give me feedback, if you have questions or you want further explanation, or you have ideas for topics, or you came across something you think I might have some interest in, then I would love your feedback, and you can write to me at feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. Again, that's feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. All right, let's go ahead and get into the subject matter for today, which is going to be ways to spend less money. And what I've done is I've actually gone through and looked at several different ways. I think I've got 32 different ways to spend less money. Now, obviously, because it's 32, I'm not going to be able to go into very much detail on each of these, although I hope to cover a few of them. And this is the first step in a wealth-building program. If you're not able to spend less money than what you bring in, you're never going to be able to build a financial legacy, because you'll have nothing in which you can pass on, nothing strength-wise to help those who are weak. And so this is the first and foremost step. Now, some of these steps you probably are already doing, and I hope that you are, and yet maybe you'll be able to find one or two here that you can tweak for yourself that will be able to provide you with some value that you aren't already practicing. So step number one, or number one, is to have a budget and stick to it. Now, there's two parts to that. Obviously, having a budget and sticking to it. It does no good to have this budget, but then never really stick to it. And so there are two parts to that. Now, what is a budget? Budget is basically telling your money where it's going to go before it goes there. And so you have to have something, a plan for it. Now, you can probably recognize this as being true, but if you don't have a plan for your money, everybody else does. And so it's important for you to have a plan for your money and to tell your money where it's going to go before it goes, or you do that with a cash flow plan or with a budget, and then you stick to it. Now, one of the most helpful resources I have found in this regard is Mint.com, M-I-N-T.com. I'll put a link in the show notes for you. But it's a online budgeting software that allows you to manage your money, cash flow, and bank accounts and all that kind of stuff all together. It consolidates all of it, and you can categorize it, and it shows you where you are on track to your budget and those kinds of things. It's a free online service. The way in which they make money is through advertising on their site. So it's a great thing, especially if you do any kind of internet banking already. It's a great resource. So Mint.com help you get a budget and to stick with it. Number two is eat out less often, especially for lunch. So pack your lunch, brown bag your lunch, however you want to call it. But this is good because it's healthier. Obviously, when you're packing your own lunch from home, it's healthier than if you go out to lunch and eat wherever you might go out to eat. unless you're very, very cautious and know what you're eating. But usually you're healthy, you're packing your own lunch. It's also a time savings and a money savings when you go out to eat. Of course, you've got to wait in line. You've got to spend that time away, and you could be doing some other things during lunch. This is, of course, speaking to those who actually go into an office to work. Those of us who have our own schedule or are at home, of course, we get to stay at home anyway, so this doesn't apply. But for those of you who work in a cubicle or still are working in a corporation or something like that, then the best thing for you to do is to pack more of your lunches and eat out less. Number three, have a list when you go shopping. This is really important. Even if you're not used to having a list, it's important to have a list and start doing that, because you can only get those items that are on the list. We have a tendency when we go shopping to get items that we don't ordinarily purchase, because we might see it there, or it might be on sale, or we think it might be a good deal, or we're hungry and we buy it, which is going to come up later. But anyway, having a list helps you to be able to stay on track with your budget, stay on track with your meal planning, and be able to spend less money. So this prevents impulse buying, prevents having to run back to the store because you forgot something, which can be a time saver as well as a money saver on gas and things like that. And so having a list, make sure you get it and check it twice. Number four, don't shop when you're hungry. This is a tendency, especially for people who are done with work and they stop by the grocery store on the way home from work and pick something up, and that's the worst time. You're starving, and you go and you see a bag of chips, and you buy the bag of chips, or you see something else, and you think that might be good, and so you purchase it, and it just it makes you too tempting. It's too tempting when you're hungry to go grocery shopping. So grocery shop on a full stomach. Number five, look down at the grocery store shelves. The inexpensive stuff is usually there. Grocery stores know what they're doing. They usually place the high dollar, high profit margin items right at eye level to catch your attention and to persuade you to buy them through their packaging and through their marketing and through their displays. And grocery stores spend lots of money trying to figure out the exact display and the exact place and eye-catching material so that you can purchase the items that are there. And rarely do people look to the bottom shelves, which is usually where the least expensive things are found. So look down and get the least expensive stuff. Number six, buy in bulk whenever possible. Now, those of you who have a lot of kids, you're probably already buying in bulk. I don't know what we would do without Sam's Club and other things like that. And so Sam's Club, Price Club, buying in bulk, bulk grains, if you make your own bread, these kinds of things. This will obviously be able to save you a whole lot of money when you're making your food at home and when you're shopping, to be able to buy in bulk. Number seven, buy only when on sale. Now, there are some items that we need every week. So how do we buy those on sale if they're not on sale? Well, I'm going to get to one of those in a minute, and that's through couponing. But sometimes even those, you don't get them on sale. And so how do you get them on sale, only buy on sale? Well, it takes a little bit of time to build up. But when you're building up some store of food and you purchase an item, let's say you've got a soup item that you normally eat. And I wouldn't buy soup at the grocery store. I'd make soup myself. Actually, I wouldn't. My wife would. But anyway, let's say you buy some soup at the store, and you normally buy that soup, and you find out one week that it's on sale. Well, you double up or triple up or quadruple up on that soup one week, and then the next week, maybe it might not be on sale. Well, you've already purchased that for a couple of weeks now, so you've got some backlog. So you buy something else that's on sale that week, and by doing that, you're able to only buy things that are on sale. Okay, and then number eight is use coupons. Just as I mentioned, coupons. My wife has become a great coupon user and has been able to save a great deal of money on items that we would ordinarily use, especially when it comes to cereals and when it comes to condiments and even deodorants and shampoos and things like that, toothbrushes. She's been able to get some of those free. With her coupons. And so not all the coupons are valuable, and some of them they don't you can get online and you can print coupons, but sometimes the ones that you print online, they can only be used one time at the store and things like that, so there's some restrictions to it. But here are some good websites to look out for this. First of all, coupons.com, and then SmartSource. Another one is printablegrocerycoupons.net. Money Saving Moms is a website you can go to that has a great deal of information on couponing and a great deal of information on saving money and being a frugal housewife and mother. And then also paper coupons. This is, seems to be some of the best, being able to clip out the coupons from the Sunday paper and be able to get the bargains that are found in there. Number nine, all else being equal, buy generic. Now, sometimes all else is not equal. I don't know about you, but I just do not think the Toastios or whatever they are, the non-brand name Cheerios, they just do not taste like Cheerios. And so, you know, sometimes you just got to buy the same stuff. Same thing with grape nuts. I really like grape nuts, but the nutty nuts or whatever they are at Walmart that you can buy, they are no good. And so grape nuts, I buy the Post grape nuts, the brand name. And so sometimes you have to buy the brand name because the other stuff's just not very good. But all else being equal, buy generic. This is especially true when it comes to medications. Number 10, buy used if you can. Now, with Craigslist and Craiglook, which is actually a broader search than Craigslist and can actually sometimes find you some deals you wouldn't be able to find just on Craigslist. That's Craiglook. I'll give a link, of course, in the show notes to both of these. But with those resources and other resources that you have online, there's no reason for us to be buying new very much. Most of the time, we can find what we need used, and it may take a little bit of shopping around, it may take a little bit of driving, but you'll be able to save the extra amount. You have to calculate those things out, obviously, but you should be able to save the additional amount by buying used rather than new. So number 11, rather than buying something new, see if you already have something that will work. In other words, use substitution. Sometimes we have something that may be broke or we're looking to do something and we realize, well, I need to go get that particular item to meet that need. And then we go out and buy the particular item to meet that need, and it's a very specialized item, and we spend our money, and then a little bit later we wonder why we spent that money. And the reason is because sometimes we have things laying around the house, maybe things that we've already used, maybe something that we could reuse, that would be able to serve the purpose almost as good, but for a whole lot less money. And if that's the case, we should try to do that rather than buying new each time we think we need to replace something. Number 12, avoid transaction fees and late fees. In other words, pay on time. Now, if you're involved in like Mint.com, as I mentioned earlier, or any kind of online banking where you pay your bills online, this shouldn't be a problem. But sometimes even that, computers go bad, or we forget to mark something in there, and so we end up paying a late fee. This shouldn't be. I got really frustrated earlier in the year when my property taxes were due, and I put a note on there when they were due, and I let them delay, and then sure enough, I was one day late on my property taxes, and so I got dinged and got a fee, and I hate that, and that's a waste of money. And it's a waste of the resources God has entrusted to us. So avoid fees and late fees. Go to the bank and see if your bank has certain fees, ATM charges, whatever they might be, and see if you can get those waived. There's a lot of competition right now between banks, and some of them are starting to charge fees where they weren't ordinarily charging fees. And if they are, then switch to a new bank and get ones that do not charge for, particularly for banking services. Number 13, use cash instead of plastic. Now, there's a lot of different statistics out there, all basically saying the same thing, and that is that when you use cash, you spend less than when you use plastic. Any kind of credit card, whether it be credit card or debit card, you spend a whole lot more, sometimes 15-20% more if you're using a credit card or debit card than when you use cash. And so it's important to use cash. And you know, I was thinking about this the other day when I was purchasing something on a debit card, and I ran it up through the debit card, and I don't even remember what it was nor how much it was that I spent, because I just put out my plastic and swiped the plastic and put the signature on there, and I was done. Whereas when I use cash, I actually, okay, it was $19.98 or, you know, $21.43 or whatever, and you actually have to count it out and get the change back, and it sticks in your head, and you remember longer how much that is. So there's some real attachment to money that takes place when we use cash rather than when you use a debit card or a credit card. And then, you know, it's good to use, I think Dave Ramsey calls it the envelope system. Others have called it something similar, and you can get this from pretty much any person who works with you regarding your debt and regarding cash flow and budgeting. But an envelope system is basically where you take an envelope and you categorize it for the area of your budget that is a concern for you spending-wise, and then you put a certain amount allocated of money in that each month or each week, and then you spend only from that category, from that envelope, and when that money's gone, then you stop spending until you add it back with a new paycheck or with some additional money or something like that, and it helps you to be able to spend cash rather than using a debit card or check. So number 14 then is, instead of buying, try borrowing. You know, in our culture in America, it's strange, but we have, especially in suburban areas, everybody's got a lawnmower. Everybody's got a snow blower if you live in the areas where they get a lot of snow. Everybody's got the same kinds of tools, and everybody's got the same access to various equipment. And a lot of the reason is because they purchased themselves rather than borrowing it. It's so much better if you can borrow from a neighbor that has it, or trade with your neighbor for his lawnmower, and you can trade with with a circular saw or something that you have when he needs that for a project. And so you are able to trade and borrow rather than to buy. Oftentimes we buy items and then they sit in our garage or sit in our storage. It's incredible how many storage facilities there are with items packed full in each of the units of items that most people won't ever use again, and yet they're keeping them, and they bought them thinking that they would be able to use them over and over again, but they don't. And so sometimes it's better if we try to borrow rather than to buy anew. And then number 15 is, compare prices before buying. Now, this seems to be like a no-brainer. Most people would want to compare prices before they buy. And with the internet, this is really super simple. You can go to places like Amazon, or you can go to places where you can compare the price of what is being offered and what is being offered online, and allows you to do that. I've got an application on my iPhone that enables me to scan it with a barcode and tells me where else it might be provided and how much it costs. And I saved some money the other day when I was buying a mailbox, and I realized that my local store here that I purchased it from, they had it for about twice what you could get it at another place. And so I mentioned that to them, and they're local, and so I gave them more than what I could get at the big box store, but nonetheless, it was a whole lot less than what they were charging on the floor. And so because I was able to compare prices and prove to them the same thing. And so comparing prices is important. Many competitors have price matches. And so if you like a particular dealer, just as I mentioned, I'd prefer to shop local than I would a big box store. And so this local place, I was willing to pay a little bit more, but I wasn't to pay unreasonably more because of that. And so a lot of places will do price matches. Number 16, wait 24 hours before medium and big churches to avoid impulse. I don't mean, you know, if you need to pick up an extra loaf of bread, to wait 24 hours before you purchase that loaf of bread. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, medium to large purchases, $100, $200, $300 items, something like that. Any kind of item, you and your wife, or, you know, if you're listening as a wife, your husband and you need to talk about what level it is that needs to be discussed first, or what needs to be thought through first, and then to come to an agreement on that. I mean, some people, if they have lots and lots of money, don't think about shelling out $100 without even thinking about it, whereas others who are living on a much more meager income would, have difficulties if their husband or their wife spent $50 without asking. And so you need to come to an agreement on that. But Avoiding impulse buying is important. And sometimes when we get this idea in our head that we want to buy this thing and we're really excited about it, and if we just go home and rest and sleep on it and pray about it a little bit, after a day, we don't really have an interest in it anymore. And so avoiding medium and big purchases by not shopping on impulse. Number 17, bottle your own water. It amazes me how much bottled water costs. Now, of course, I live out in the country, and we have a great well. It tastes delicious, our water does. And so if you live in the city, maybe not so much, and you're probably living off city water, and it's got fluoride in it and chlorine and all these different kinds of chemicals you probably don't want to be putting into your body. And so I understand that you don't want to use the tap water. So get a filter and then fill up your own water jugs and take that. It's a whole lot cheaper doing it that way than it is to buy a bottle of water and to drink the bottle of water. And so bottle your own water. That saves a great deal of money. And of course, I'm not even going to mention drink more water rather than drinking sodas and juices and things like that, because that, of course, is another way to save money. And then avoid vending machines is number 18. This is the opposite of bulk buying, of course. When you buy bulk, you get a lot for a little, or per item. Whereas when you're buying from a vending machine, you get very little for a high dollar amount. There's a huge markup on vending machines. Now, of course, you guys all know this. I don't have to tell you this, but it's a good reminder for us nonetheless. And maybe there's someone here listening right now who's about ready to go down during the break and get something from the vending machine, and you can think twice about it, and tomorrow pack more for your lunch. So a couple of convenience store owners that I know, what they do is they go and buy bulk, and then they take it back to their convenience store. They unmanage the bulk and put them into separate categories, and then reshelve them and charge them two or three, sometimes even four times the amount of per individual item than what it was as a bulk. And so there's a huge markup on these, and so don't buy that way. Number 19, maintain your stuff. Take care of your cars, take care of your tillers, take care of your bicycles, of your kids, take care of all of these things, because it's lots easier to take care and lots less expensive to take care of items that you already have than to purchase new ones. Taking care of the stuff means that they will last longer and that you don't have to repurchase as often. Number 20, learn the art of negotiation. Everything is negotiable, whether you think so or not. Even at a retail store where there's a fixed price on that item, and you go and you ask the person, hey, what's the charge of this? What's the cost of it? And they'll tell you the exact price of what it is. That's not the exact price. Everything is negotiable, and you can negotiate anything if you want to. In fact, my suggestion is that you learn a few simple words, and that is, that's not good enough. And then you'd be silent. For example, you go in and you're looking at purchasing a new, we'll go back to the circular saw, and you're at Lowe's and you're looking at circular saws or wherever it might be. You can be at Home Depot or whatever your box place of choice. And you're looking at circular saws, and the retail price of the circular saw is $49. And you bring it up to the counter and you say, is this the best you can do on this price? And, of course, the little cashier at the counter, they're not going to know anything. So they're going to say yes. And you say, well, can I talk to a manager? And you talk to the manager. The manager comes out, is this the best you can do? And what's the worst thing that can happen? The worst thing that can happen, you say, no, that's the best price we can give you. And then you can take it back, or you can decide to purchase at that point. But at least you try to negotiate. Now, more often than not, what will happen is that they will say, well, we can bring down 10% or 15% or whatever it is. And that will allow you to get a discounted price. And so ask that question more often. Is that the best that you can do, or that's not good enough? And when you do that, you'll end up getting better bargains and learning how to negotiate. Now, there's all kinds of books on art of negotiation, but that's just a simple step there. Number 21, make it yourself if you can. Now, of course, this goes for a lot of different things, but first thing is you want to think about is making your own food from scratch rather than going and buying pre-made food at the store. This, of course, costs a whole lot more, but it's also unhealthy for you. or at least it's not as healthy as buying it or making it from scratch. And so you want to be able to cook from scratch. And you know, I saved huge amounts of money building my own house because I was able to do my own labor and didn't have to contract a lot of that out. And so I pretty much made it myself. I had a lot of great help from the people from my church and was able to really benefit from that. And I appreciate their help on it. But nonetheless, because I was able to do a lot of it myself, I saved a whole lot of money on it. And this can apply in a lot smaller steps as well. It doesn't have to be a house. It can be something smaller. It can be oil changes on your vehicle. It can be the building of your deck. It can be a whole lot of other things that you can do yourself if you've got the time and you've got the ability or you've got the resources or the willingness to learn. You can do it yourself. Number two, Redbox instead of movie theaters. Now, I just put Redbox in there, but there's a lot of different ways that you can find entertaining movies. You've got all kinds of things on the internet that you can go to that you can you know, get valuable time to watch, and you can do it at your own leisure, and you don't have to go down to the movie theater, and it's a whole lot less expensive. And so, you know, I kind of put that in there almost as a catch-all for entertainment, because the way in which we used to get entertainment by going to the movies is no longer. The internet, as well as allowing for podcasts and things like that, has also allowed us to access a lot more other avenues of entertainment that we wouldn't normally have at a whole lot less cost. And so Redbook instead of the movie theater, or Redbox instead of the movie theater. 23, raise your insurance deductibles if you have the cash to pay for them. So let's look at this, for example, as we'll get to a little bit later. You need to have an emergency fund. And if you have some kind of an emergency fund, maybe it's $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, whatever it might be, then you've got that cash in reserve. That is now an asset to you that you can use as leverage against insurance. And so you want to be able to raise the deductibles on your insurance. If you raise your car insurance, for example, from $250 to $500 or even to $1,000 deductible, you can decrease the premiums significantly, and you have that money available if you need to get a replacement or you need to make the repairs necessary to meet that deductible. You have that in the savings. This allows you to be more responsible with your money, allows you to take more control over your money, and allows that emergency fund that you've saved to have a greater leverage. And so you want to be able to raise your insurance deductibles. Number 24, stay healthy to avoid medical bills. Well, this kind of pretty much speaks for itself, but obviously if you're not staying fit, if you're not staying healthy, and you're always having to go into the doctor, you're going to end up paying more bills. Now, I'm assuming that the people that are listening to this podcast, they're wanting to be able to leave a legacy, and of course you're wanting to live a healthy life in order to do that anyway, and so this should be already a part of your practices in avoiding medical bills and being healthy. Number 25, heat or cool yourself, not your surroundings. We spend a whole lot of money on energy resources trying to heat our surroundings or trying to cool our surroundings when we should be heating or cooling ourselves. For example, in the wintertime, when the temperature gets cooler and the house temperature should be dropping, we end up keeping it at 69, 70 degrees. We should bring it down to 62, 63 degrees, something like that, and wear warmer clothes. I mean, this makes sense, and yet we rarely do it. Same thing is true in the summertime. We shouldn't have the temperature at 70 degrees inside the house when it's 95 outside. Raise the temperature a little bit and wear less clothing. And so this, or lighter clothing at least, and use some fans or some kind of thing like that where we are cooling ourselves or heating ourselves rather than the surroundings. And then you can get space heaters to heat certain areas. For example, if you use the computer a lot, you can get a little space heater for underneath the computer that will warm your feet while you're sitting at the computer. And when you have warm feet, of course, and it's cold out, everything seems to be a whole lot better. So use space heaters rather than heating the whole room and heating the surroundings. Number 26 is grow your own food. What if you were able to supplement to the tune of $20 per week? Compounded out at 6% for 20 years, that would be about $21,000 saved as a result of just $20 extra a week of food. Now, anybody, I don't care if you live in the suburbs or you live in the city, you can supplement with balcony food. You can supplement with a 3x3 box in the back. Whatever it might be, you can supplement your food and reduce your costs. I mean, you think about a bag of spinach, if you like salad or spinach or something like that, romaine lettuce, whatever it might be, super, super simple to grow. It doesn't take a lot of room, and yet it's very high dollar in the grocery store, and you never know where that stuff's coming from. It could be coming from 3,000 miles away, using up all that energy, and not very healthy for the environment, nor is it healthy for you. And yet when you provide for yourself and you could do it yourself, then you would be able to have that resource available. So growing your own food would be another way of saving money. Number 27, reuse things. In other words, simple items that are going to be recycled, you can recycle yourself by reusing them. More complex items like gray water can become black water, and there's all kinds of articles out there. In fact, if you pick up the Abundaculture resource on the website, he has a great deal of information in there on how to use recycled material, whether it be water or whether it be things for growing cans for his growing material that would enable you to reuse some of the things that we normally use. And so more complex items can be used, simple items, more intense, reuse your own waste for compost. He talks about a composting toilet in there. Now, I haven't got that far yet, and yet we've managed to reuse some of our urine and things like that. And so reusing things allows us to spend less money, conserve some of the energy that we have, conserve some of the resources that we have, build upon those things, and enables us to all around spend less money and build a greater heritage and legacy. Number 28, don't buy extended warranties. Most of the time, these things are a waste of money. And when you buy extended warranties, all you're doing is you're paying mostly for the commission of the person who's selling you the extended warranty. If they come with a warranty, great, but don't extend it for a cost or purchase any kind of extended warranty. Number 29, better insulate your house. Obviously, this saves on the electric bills when you better insulate your house, and you can look at a cost comparison and find out what it would cost for someone to come in and maybe blow in some more insulation into the attic or refill some of the areas where you've got some holes or some gaps around the doors and the windows, and better insulate the home so that it's able to maintain the heat during the times where you've got the heat running, and it's maintained the cool in times where you've got the cool running with the greater amount of insulation in the home. And then you can spray that stuff in the attic. They have all kinds of mechanisms now where you can do that. They've got some foam where you can spray it from a little spray nozzle around the windows and the doors to seal a lot of stuff up. So use better insulation. That helps reduce the cost of the energy. And then number 30 is avoid costly habits. This, again, seems to be like a no-brainer, but smoking and drinking and things like that provide very, very, very little, if you could even argue that, of any value, and yet they are high-dollar items that cost a great deal to people. And so stop doing those things, put away those habits, and save the money that you would normally spend on them. Number 31, don't play the lottery. I heard Dave Ramsey say this one time, and I think it's great. He says, lottery is a tax on those who can't do math. In other words, the chance of anybody winning the lottery is so slim, you're wasting your money in doing it. You're not going to win. And so you can spend less money if you don't try to win the lottery, and just put that money into good resources that you will be able to use and purchased at a good price. And then number 32, finally, barter instead of buy. Now, we talked a little bit about borrowing, and we talked a little bit about, buying used and things like that. Well, this here is bartering instead of buying. And most people who are listening to this show have something that somebody else wants to use. I don't know whether it's a vehicle. Some people don't like to lend out their vehicle, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be a vehicle. Or whether it could be a tool, whether it could be property, a land, a garden, What if they have some books that they could lend? Whatever it might be, you have something of value to somebody else that they would like to use that you can then in turn use that as a means of barter for them because they probably have something that you want. Now, ultimately, as barter progresses, some people don't want what others have, but they want to be able to maybe use that in the future. And this, of course, is the way in which currency came to pass or came into development is through the need for one person to have a currency that they could trade their items for, and then that currency would provide them with the resources to purchase another item in the future. Barter networks are online. You can look at some of them. There are some who actually allow you to use silver as a means of exchange and as a means of barter. And more of these groups are popping up everywhere. And I think that they will continue to grow and continue to pop up everywhere as the economy gets worse. And so barter instead of buying. So there are 32 ways in which you can spend less money. I'm sure that if you're careful, that any one of these can help you out, and if you implement several of them, I know most of you are probably already doing most of them, and yet maybe you found one or two on here that you're not doing that you could start to do, and that would be able to provide you with some value, and maybe 10, 20, 30 bucks a week, whatever it might be, will be able to be used then towards building a family legacy financially that you can pass on and help for multiple generations. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? I want to live.